This is Patch 8. Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. Warcraft lore is the talk of the day with my guest, the co-host of the Morally Gray podcast. This is episode 287.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Conan and Unshackled podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro, and this is going to be a very World of Warcraft-centric show today, because after the interview, I need to talk about raiding in WoW. It's something I have talked about here before, but hey, raiding and the friends I raid with are a big reason I continue to play the game, and I imagine the same applies to a good number of you listening. But first, there's plenty of other business to take care of, so let's start by quickly going around the World of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Patch 8.2, The Rise of Ashara, is finally here, and with it comes a large amount of new content to explore, new rewards to obtain, and new power to acquire for your characters. The new zones of Mechagon and Nazjatar are available to explore today, though the Eternal Palace Raid, Operation Mechagon Mythic Mega Dungeon, and Season 3 of Rated PvP content will not be available until July 9th. Other major features in today's patch include a new pet battle dungeon, the Heart of Azeroth Essence system, mount equipment, heritage armor questlines for Torns and Gnomes, and yes, the ability to unlock flying for your mounts in Battle for Azeroth content. Well-known Hearthstone streamer and competitor Dog from Team Liquid became the first Hearthstone Masters Tour champion after his performance in Las Vegas. The MechaStorm 2 event has come to Heroes of the Storm, featuring new mecha skins for Yarel, Vala, and Malphael, as well as a rework for Chen. Special loot boxes and quests are also part of this event, which will run until August 5th. That day will also mark the start of Season 3 for Ranked Play, and numerous changes to how Ranked Play and Advancement works. And finally, you have about a week left to participate in Baptiste Reunion Challenge, an Overwatch event linked with the release of a short story for the new character written by Alyssa Wong. All you have to do is win 9 games in Quick Play, Competitive, or Arcade Mode by July 1st to receive a variety of rewards, including the epic Combat Medic skin for Baptiste.
You are not prepared!
And relatively breaking news, because I had finished the show and then found out this announcement, Hearthstone is adding 10 new cards to Basic and Classic sets, coming with their next update, including 2 new legendaries, Brightwing and High Inquisitor Whitemane. Vanish and Mindblast are being moved to the Hall of Fame in the middle of a year, which is quite surprising. You can expect a lot of talk about this on this week's Hearthstone podcast and on the next episode of Hearth Casual. Shameless plug. Let's move on, shall we?
Time's up. Let's do this.
It's once again time for show notes, where I take a quick look at the shows that have reached a milestone or running some special contest. Maybe they have a guest on, or they're just talking about something that caught my attention. First off, congratulations to Azeroth Coast to Coast on the upcoming recording of their 100th episode. Their guest on episode 99 is Twitch streamer Sephiroth, not to be confused with Sephiroth, or common MMO username XXSephirothXX. Ben Bumhofer was absent from Azeroth Roundtable last week, but John Jagger kept things going with 2 guests, including, and I'm paraphrasing his words here, someone who's been playing less WoW than he has recently. Jokes aside, his core co-host, Bo Schwartz, and Starting Zone's Jason Lucas helped make episode 325 very entertaining. Speaking of the Starting Zone, they have made up for taking a couple weeks off by putting out a double-length Patch 8.2 episode, which should be out there for download right now. The Torn and the Goblin spend a little time before Patch 8.2 asking a interesting hypothetical question. What if Gul'dan was the Lich King? Wrapping up the WoW talk, Allie from Dungeon Fables and All Things Azeroth can be found as a guest on episode 6 of Scrubs vs. the World, talking about WoW Dungeons. Speaking of that show, it's shameless plug time, because you can hear me talking about Hearthstone's solo player adventure on episode 7 of Scrubs. And speaking of Hearthstone, Twitch streamer Majedeath fills in for my co-host Kevin Ellis on the most recent episode of Hearth Casual. Now, Hearthstone, as many of you know, is a game that's easy to learn and hard to master. Concepts such as tempo, control, and value, and more can be a bit harder to grasp than one might think. The Coin Concede podcast is actually spending a few weeks talking about the concept of initiative in Hearthstone, and I highly suggest checking it out if you're looking to improve your Hearthstone game knowledge. Most Hearthstone shows this past week are recapping the recent Hearthstone Las Vegas Masters Tour. One person who was there covering it all was caster Raven, and you can find him talking about it with Chanman on the latest episode of Valuetown. Hearthstone coach and wild play enthusiast Mentalistic from Team Genji can be found on the latest episode of the Tier 5 podcast. Wrapping up the guest appearances, Hunter specialist Sidisi joins Grant and Eve on episode 187 of Velen's Chosen to talk about how to go face in competitive play. And finally, I've only listened to a couple of Overwatch podcasts this past week, but one I did listen to stuck out as doing something a little more than just recapping Overwatch League. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but OWL isn't my primary thing, so if it doesn't happen to be your primary thing, perhaps you might want to check out the Omnic Lab podcast. With the Baptiste reunion event in full swing, Rob and Andres break down the newly revealed lore from the short story, as well as speculate on what upcoming heroes and characters have been teased at through that content. You can find the show on your podcast app of choice or at omniclab.com. Of course, the dozen podcasts I've just mentioned are only a slice of the content that's out there for you to listen to.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
Why, thank you, Tracer, and yes, it's once again time for the weekly podcast roundup, which is an insanely quick rundown of all the podcasts out there that cover games from Blizzard Entertainment that put out an episode between June 17th and 23rd of 2019. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Blizzard Watch, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, The Instant, Scrubs vs. the World, and The Sundering. Your World of Warcraft shows include Adventures in Azeroth, AIE Podcast, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, The Converted, Control, Wild, Darkmoon Herald, Do Not Relent, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, Half-World Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Merely a Setback, Middlefinger Podcast, Morally Gray, Rolling Restart, The Torn, Then the Goblin, The Weekly Reset, Unshackled Fury, Whispers of War, Who Aggro That, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, and WoWhead Weekly. The Classic Casual and Countdown to Classic took care of WoW Classic. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone is 1600 Dusty, Jaeger, Chicken Arena, Sensei, Blizzard, Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, The Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Into the Wild, The Lightforge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omnistone, Tier 5 Podcast, Valentown, Bones Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. The new meta, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarch Workshop all covered Diablo last week. The Pylon took care of StarCraft. Gankbush Squad and Into the Nexus covered Heroes of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Birdwatchers, Blackwatch Report, Broverwatch, Casual Owl Fans, Foul Play, The Grind, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Low Team Damage, Mayhem Maniacs, Omnic Lab, Omnic Weekly, On the Flank, The Overnerds, Oversight, Overwatch League Network, Owl by the Numbers, The Owl Recap, Pulse Bomb Ready, Push the Point, Ready Set Pwn, Tactical Crouch, Watch House, and The Weekly Uprising. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup during this show and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. For links to all of these shows and more great Blizzard podcasting content, go to realm-maintenance.com. I'll be right back with the host of Morally Gray after these words of wisdom from Buxley.
Please unplug Buxley before leaving. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about mining. Dear Buxley, I was out mining the other day, and right after the node disappeared, someone else came up, swung their axe at the place where the ore used to be, even though there wasn't anything there. What's going on? You've encountered the Mining Intern League. The person you saw is a brand new league member, known as a Miner Miner. Those people are told to run out, mimic swinging a mining pick every time they see someone else trying to mine ore. That's how they learn how to mine. You might have even encountered a more advanced league miner, known as a Major Miner. These folks will swing an axe at a mining node, pretend to gather ore, but leave the mining node intact for you. You'll encounter all kinds of different league members. Some members of the Mining Intern League are very young, and they have pet birds that go out with them. Some of those birds can even speak. So if you're out mining and you see a child with a bird practicing their mining skills, you know you've run into one of the Mining Intern League's Miner Mina Miner Miners. Thanks for your question!
If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. You can listen to the archives at AskBuxley.com.
Mining is money, friend!
The lore of World of Warcraft is pretty vast and expansive, and it really goes far beyond what can be seen in-game, between novels, short stories, cinematics, and a lot more. The history of Azeroth has been fleshed out like you can't believe, and a number of podcasts have made the lore of Warcraft the primary focus of their content. Today's show is no exception. With me right now is the host of Morally Gray, and don't worry, it's not just a show about Sylvanas Windrunner. Jin, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And we haven't even talked about Sylvanas yet, so we'll get there.
Yeah, which is the funniest thing, because when you hear the name Morally Gray, I think that's the first thing that people think of is Sylvanas Windrunner and everything to do with Teldrassil and the tree and the burning thereof. But before we go further into that, just let me know, what inspired you to create this podcast and talk a little bit about its concept? Because I think it's kind of an interesting take. I don't think a WoW lore podcast has done things quite the way you have before.
Ultimately, the reason I came up with the show is because it didn't exist. The main thing that I always liked is, you know, listening to lore podcasts. I'm a huge fan of Merely a Setback, Lore Watch, and Torn and Goblin, all those other lore shows out there. But the one thing that I always felt that was required to listen to those shows was a pretty extensive knowledge of the lore. Like, if you were to just pick up Lore Watch, not saying it's a bad show, because I love the show, you kind of have to understand a lot of what they're talking about, because a lot of the questions they get into and a lot of the back and forth, like the round table discussion they get into, has a lot of detail that if you're the kind of person who just plays the game and doesn't read the quest text, you're not going to know what they're talking about. So ultimately, the idea was to just, you know, start from the beginning and lay the entire thing out from start to finish.
I would kind of say that where Lore Watch is Azeroth Lore 102, your show aims to be more in Azeroth Lore 101.
That's definitely correct. And Azeroth Lore 101 with a side of ridiculous comedy infused in there as well.
Absolutely. And I like the concept of the show, as in, of course, you're not alone on the show. Your co-host, Fear, is also along for this. And how long have you two known each other? What is it that brought him into the podcast? And just talk a little bit about what he brings to Morally Gray.
He pretty much brings the explicit tag. But what so we met back in Mists of Pandaria is when we met. So whenever Mogoshaw Vaults was current content, so that'll give you the time frame of when we first met. Mm-hmm. He was looking for a raid team and we were looking for a new tank, and he happened to be wanting to tank. Well, the only thing was is he'd never tanked before, ever. So that's why whenever you hear the joke in the show, taunt Fear, that's because I used to be the tank alongside of him, and I would constantly yell at him because he was screwing up. So, but the main reason why he got to come along with the show is because, you know, we were the two tanks on the raid team together, so we kind of got close, had a little friendship get going, and eventually, you know, I was talking to him about the lore and telling him, like, hey, there's this. Have you heard about this cool thing? And he's like, bro, I don't know what that is. So,
you heard of the Sundering? What? It's not just a podcast, Fear.
So that was probably my favorite thing, is when in the very recent episode is when he's like, so I'm like not exactly giving this Sundering like its credit, am I? It's like, no, this is when continents were formed. This isn't, yeah. So he didn't realize what the Sundering was, and that was hilarious. I apparently he thought it was just a little flood.
just a minor footnote in Azeroth's history, you know, nothing big happened.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how we met, and that's how we got started. I mean, well, I guess really the fun little history behind it is, you know, he quit playing WoW. He took a break for about, I think it was about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that long, maybe a year and a half, but it doesn't matter. And then he sends me a text message out of the blue, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm not really interested in coming back, but hey, if you want to like play Overwatch or something together, like I'd be down. I had fun hanging out with you. And then we got to talking, and I was like, yeah, I was also thinking about doing this podcast. Well, the funny thing is he had mentioned doing a podcast like years ago, but he wanted to do something somewhere along the veins of like comedy, because that's one of the other things that we have a shared interest in. Probably pretty evident if you listen to the show.
Absolutely.
So we got to talking about the comedy and the thing of it, so we wanted to actually get into it and make not just an educational show but also entertaining, because I'm not a very serious guy, so I don't think I could tell the lore in a super serious manner.
I think that the way that each of you describes what takes place in the lore of Warcraft is unique. I find it funny when Fear tries to recap what you've mentioned in a previous episode, especially the most recent one about the Sundering. I thought was great that I'm going to be spoiling a little bit of the most recent episode, but I find it hilarious that he'd recap the events of the Sundering and mention everything but the Sundering itself.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I was impressed that he managed to not mention that the world was falling apart. Yeah, the main thing that I like about the recap, and that was I would actually say it was one of the interesting segments that I came up with. Mm-hmm. So the actual most recent episode that was recorded last night that we'll be releasing, well, actually, this will be the most of recent episode available by the time this show comes out. Mm-hmm. So what actually happened is it was me, Fear, and Allie from Dungeon Fables.
Nice.
And I came up with 100 questions from the last 24 episodes. So let's just say the episode 25, that was his final exam.
Oh, I can only imagine how well he failed that one.
Well, let's just say he did have some help from Allie. So, because that was the whole point, was she was effectively his phone-a-friend.
Gotcha. How many lifelines did you give him, 20 or 30?
Looking at the score in front of him, about 20.
Well, I that will definitely be an awesome show to listen to. Actually, that kind of answers one of my questions as far as like what would be a good episode for people to kind of hop on and experience too. It's kind of like a great way to catch up with the past couple dozen episodes that you guys have put out. Now, what determines what you guys talk about on a typical episode? Do you have a plan as far as what you're talking about on the lore? Are you going chronologically? Are you kind of hopping around all over the place? What's charting the path for your lore discussions?
It is 100% chronological. Mm-hmm. Well, as best as possible. I mean, obviously I can't talk about two events happening simultaneously on different planets.
But, sure.
So far, what we did is in episode one, we started with the creation of the universe as laid out in Chronicles with the light and the void coming together. And then we've just been going along since then, one chronological event after Agent Felder. And the Sundering episode, that's when we finally wrapped up the War of the Ancients series. So we're finally done with the War of the Ancients. We were on that for 11 episodes.
Mm.
It's a long book.
It definitely is a long book. It meant one thing that you're able to go that detailed about it, to be 25 episodes in and have just finished the War of the Ancients and knowing just how much left there is to talk about Warcraft, just to catch up to, say, the start of World of Warcraft, you've got quite a few episodes ahead of you. There will be no shortage of content for you on this podcast.
That is one of the reasons I chose the format I did, because really it was, I didn't want to have to think about, oh, what are we going to be talking about next week? Mm-hmm. I always know what I'm going to talk about next week. It's the next thing that happens in the story chronologically. So I feel like that's at least one advantage that I have.
Do you feel that there's any particular point in the history of Azeroth that you are really going to enjoy talking about? Like, have you already talked about your most favorite moment, or is it yet to come, and what do you think that is?
Oh, it's definitely yet to come. That one's going to take a while to get there. We probably won't get there until, episode 105 or something. Nice. Which is, that is going to be the story of Arthas. I have two reasons. And one of them is a legit reason, and then the other one is a still legit, but slightly less legit. The number one reason is because it is my favorite storyline. It's actually what got me into, you know, to start playing Warcraft. Well, World of Warcraft. I had been playing the RTSs for a while before that, but it was when I played Warcraft 3, The Frozen Throne, and that whole storyline ended with, you know, Arthas on the throne. My initial reaction was, well, this guy's got to die. So when Wrath of the Lich King was finally announced, I was like, okay, I will finally play. Because that's when I was like, all right, that dude's going down. So I definitely look forward to getting into the Arthas storyline, but that one's going to take a while to get there. But the other reason that I want to get into it is because I haven't actually read the book Arthas by Christy Goldman, and looking forward to that.
I have, and it's one of my favorite Christy Goldman stories, actually, when it comes to Warcraft. It's you are in for a treat.
That's what everybody's telling me. They're like, oh my God, you do a lore podcast and you never read Arthas? It's like, no, I haven't read it. I played the game. Sorry.
Yeah, and like you said, it's going to take a while to get there, man. That's kind of an interesting thing to consider, too. If it's going to take, and I mean, we're just guesstimating, if it's going to take that long to get to talking about Arthas, then, man, how long will it get to talking about Sylvanas and just whether or not she actually is morally gray? I mean, this is where the name of your show stems from. Do you actually have a very strong opinion about Sylvanas Windrunner and how she's written, how she's portrayed in the lore? I'm kind of interested into just how the name of the show plays into your feelings about her and how she's written and how the lore is being done in Warcraft.
I do have a feeling about Sylvanas, but it probably would surprise most people that actually I talk to regularly. Mm-hmm. I actually think she's really well written because one of the things that I listen to a ton of podcasts, and some of the ones that I listen to are like philosophy podcasts and things like, it's one of the reasons why I liked the name Morally Gray, because I was like, oh yeah, well there actually is some interesting morality going on here. So I actually think it's really interesting because, I mean, we as humans, there's a lot of morality that we put in place and we think about. But, I mean, what is the morality of an undead character? I mean, that's really difficult to really kind of think about if you do. So I like her story arc and where she's going. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily know what's going on or what you can speculate about. But, yeah, I like where it's going. I think it's interesting. And the one thing that I hope doesn't happen is I hope they don't kill her, because she's a really interesting character and I want her to stick around.
I really don't think they'll end up killing her. She's too important a character, too big a character to really take out. I mean, look at the Lich King. Yes, it's not Arthas, but they couldn't exactly take out the Lich King considering how important the Lich King was, so they had someone else take the role.
Yeah, Ner'zhul's still kicking around in there somewhere.
You got to wonder just how much of it's Ner'zhul and how much of it's Bolvar, and I have a feeling that's more Ner'zhul than Bolvar at this point.
We'll see, because I mean, if you've seen the little, what is that guy, the Vol'jin storyline where you're running around and you go talk to him, that seemed a little more Ner'zhul than Bolvar. It's not like, oh, what's up, buddy? How you doing? It was like, get off me. Get out of my hair.
Why'd you say Martha? Anyway.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Well, as far as the show goes, there's going to be a lot for you guys to talk about. On a typical episode, can you kind of walk me through just format-wise, how do you structure the show? Obviously, you have the recap at the top of the show of the previous episode. What else can people tend to hear? What's kind of the regular structure of your show from episode to episode?
Typical structure is, like you mentioned, we have the recap. Before that, I usually give a crazy anecdote of something that happened in my week. Strangely enough, I actually like to keep it like non-game related. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just like, yeah, I did this, and I have crazy neighbors, and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. It's a little injection of my own real life in there rather than just my game time. And then after that, once he's given his recap, oh, and I happen to forget, is one of the things that fear does always ask me is, what am I drinking tonight?
And it's always mentioned in the show description, I noticed.
It is, yes. Yeah, so that was one of the hilarious bits is, it's not exactly drunk WoW lore, but it's at least buzzed WoW lore. So that's where some of the comedy comes from.
Well, yeah. I look at it this way. I feel like the people who created the lore of Warcraft had to be a little bit buzzed when they're thinking this stuff up and putting it together. I mean, it takes a little bit of creativity, but I think there's probably a little something else in there too that comes up with
probably
some of this stuff.
Yeah. And then the rest of the show is just me going through the storyline that I've kind of prepared for the week, because, you know, I write out my show notes and I try and keep it within a certain threshold and timing, but the last two episodes went pretty freaking long, but that's because I wanted to wrap up the War of the Ancients before I made Fear give his, you know, last 24 episode recap on episode 25. So yeah, that was fun.
Nice. And so chronologically, because I know a lot about lore and World of Warcraft, but I don't usually look at it in front of me and structure it and put it all together. What will be coming up after that episode 25 pop quiz, as it were?
Yeah, so episode 26 is probably mostly going to be related to the War of the Satyrs.
Ooh, okay. So going into I'm trying to remember the name of the Satyr. Would that be involving like the first Satyr that there was and all that?
Yeah, Xavius was around. Xavius. And yeah, that's when Xavius was around. And a little spoiler for the show, but not really a big spoiler. This is also where Worgen come from. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because a lot of the source material that I'm going to be pulling from is going to be the Curse of the Worgen comic series. So, yeah.
Awesome. And I think that's probably content that a lot of people have not been exposed to. I mean, there are a lot of people that have read many of the novels for the Warcraft universe, but I don't think there's nearly as many people that have actually can say that they've read all the comics. And the comics actually tell a fair interesting portion of the story in some spaces, especially like when you're talking about, say, Varian Wrynn. Jeez.
Yeah, and honestly, I can't say that I have read them all. I've only read the ones that we're kind of moving into.
Well, I will not blame you if you entirely skip Madon, because Blizzard has to.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not going to make it to the show. He is just a footnote. And yeah, I'm sure you are aware of this, and if anyone wants a fun joke, open up Warcraft Chronicles Volume 3 and flip to the glossary in the back and look for Madan.
Yep.
Yeah. He's on page 404.
Yep.
And there is no 404.
That's awesome. Well, I definitely want people to check out Morally Gray. Get better connected with it. Again, there are a number of different lore shows out there. I really appreciate the spin and take that you and Fear are putting into it. And like you said, you try to make it not just educational, but entertaining. And the banter between you two, the chemistry that you two guys have, obviously is there from just all the years that you've spent together. Gaming, and it's evident in the show itself. It's a real treat. I think it's something that my listeners will get a kick out of, especially if they like talking about lore in World of Warcraft. So how can they get better connected with you, the show, and all that good stuff, social media and otherwise?
You can pretty much find anything that is related to the show if you just look up Morally Gray Pod. And that's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, like just all of that. And yeah, you can find it pretty much anywhere. Twitter is probably the best place. Yeah, Morally Gray Pod. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, sounds good. Once again, Jin, thank you very much for being on the show this week. Congratulations on a successful 25 episodes of the show, and here's to many, many more as you get ever so closer to Sylvanas just saying to burn it.
Thanks. Yeah, I look forward to it.
And it's finally time for the RNG segment, and the topic this week Well, it's definitely not a random one. Of course, RNG never stands for random number generator on this show. Today, let's say it stands for rough neoclassical gods. Thanks for that one, Annalise. All right, let's talk about rating in the World of Warcraft. The nutshell version, because I feel like I'm going to ramble here, but the nutshell version is this. I believe that some normal mode raid encounters have become more complex and difficult than mythic or heroic encounters of past raids. And quite honestly, as a longtime member of a casual raiding team, after reading the adventure guide details for the Azshara fight, I'm kind of concerned that we're approaching a breaking point because of it. So that's the gist of it. I do have a suggestion for how to address this issue, so skip ahead if you want to get right to that. But for the next few minutes, it's story time. Now, my first epic final raid boss fight with a raid team was in Ulduar back in Wrath of the Lich King. The Yogg-Saron fight back then was this challenging three-phase encounter that resulted in dozens upon dozens of attempts, ultimately culminating in the most epic nerd screams I've been a part of when the group I was in got our first kill in 25-player mode. Mind you, it wasn't heroic mode or back then hard mode. It was not zero lights, but it was still quite an accomplishment in the game because, at least from my experience up to that point, there had not been a fight as complicated and complex as challenging as that fight had been. Now, there are a number of raid encounters since that I can say were both close to being as challenging and fun to conquer, and fun's the important point to drive in there, because I feel that a raid encounter can be challenging, a raid encounter can be mechanically complex, it can just be flashy and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, are you having fun raiding? I think that's an important point to drive in. And everyone considers fun in raiding differently. For some people, fun in raiding is found through talking with, doing it with friends. For some people, fun in raiding is found through the loot rewards you get through it. Everyone's interpretation of what they find about raiding being fun is going to be different. That's something that has to be kept in mind in this discussion, and I get that. Over the course of the years, each new raid has brought with it interesting and increasing mechanic complexity. And I'm not just talking about mythic mode. Normal and heroic mode raid encounters, on average, have more mechanics to learn nowadays, and in turn, that means you need more strategy and more coordination required to defeat them. Now, challenge and difficulty is not bad in a game. I don't want everything handed to me on the silver platter. There was a time back in the day when I played WoW where I felt I was a bit of an elitist, and people who wanted to just do the things and get the things done, I felt like they were not as worthy or whatnot. Hopefully I don't feel like I'm as an elitist a WoW player as I was back then, but everyone changes. Now, I don't want everything handed to me on the silver platter. I actually praise the WoW dev team for having not two, but four different levels of difficulty for raiding, which are put there with the intent to give everyone the level of challenges that they feel comfortable with. Now, my current raid team, Furt, started when Flex Mode was introduced in Mists of Pandaria, and actually, Furt got its name from standing for Flexible Encounter Raid Team. That's what Furt stands for. It's also a sound that Scott Johnson made. And the core of the group has remained together over the years. The challenge of Siege of Orgrimmar felt just right for what a group of casual players that raided 4 hours a week were going to do. Now, you fast forward to more recent times, and here we have Battle for Dazar'alor, which, mind you, I think in terms of design and appearance and the theme and everything, is an awesome raid. Overall, one of the best raids in terms of just concept and that approach, not talking about mechanically. Stormall, Blockade, and Jaina Proudmoore were not great for our team because of those mechanics, because of the randomness, and the complexity of those two encounters did not feel, well, normal for a normal difficulty raid team. Blockade was nerfed a number of times in January before our team had even got to Stormwall Blockade, and we still had plenty of issues of it, even though we were well equipped to handle that encounter in terms of eye level. Now, our team has been on a bit of hiatus before 8.2, and honestly, it's a small miracle that we didn't break up. And I'm not saying that due to raid team drama that threatened the possibility of things falling apart. It was actually just burnout and exhaustion over dealing with all the complexity that those two final encounters brought to the table. Now, I get that as the game gets older and evolves, as you're designing these encounters, you probably feel the need to make the raid fights more, for lack of a better word, let's say interesting. You need to have more targets to shoot, more debuffs to mine, more dance steps to learn. And if you're a mythic raider in this game, I can appreciate that if encounters remained at the same level of challenge over the years as you become a more experienced raider, then raiding might start to get boring for you, because for you, it's all about the kill. At least, I feel it's like that at the highest end of mythic raiding. I could be wrong on that, because again, I'm not a mythic raider. I'm okay with the challenge, and I'm okay with designing fights for mythic raiders in a way that they become progressively more challenging from raid to raid, not just so that you need better gear, but you need an increasing amount of skill. The problem with that is, when you look at people that have for the longest time have been raiding normal mode, or perhaps even, dare I say, Raid Finder, we're now being required to participate in fights that are far more complex on normal mode than heroic and mythic encounters were in past expansions. And maybe, newsflash, normal mode raiders and Raid Finder raiders aren't looking for that enhanced level of complexity. Can you think of how many times back in Warlords of Draenor or Mists of Pandaria, when you had to go through a Raid Finder raid and you had mechanics that had to be thoroughly explained or else there were wipes? I really can't think of many. And yet I can recall 3 or 4 encounters in Legion and Battle for Azeroth, which on Raid Finder mode ended up requiring the entire raid team to get multiple stacks of determination just to get through them, because the fights were that complex on Raid Finder, let alone what they're like on Heroic. Now, I want you to do a favor for me. If you have a moment, I want you to take a look at the adventure guide for Ashara in the Eternal Palace today. And I have a reason for this. I want you to look at that, which is miles long of mechanics and information. Take a look at all of that, try to digest it, and then I want you to look at the adventure guide for Garrosh Hellscream on Mythic difficulty in Mists of Pandaria. And mind you, I don't think I said it, but when you look at Ashara, look at Ashara on normal mode, but then look at Garrosh Hellscream in Mythic difficulty for Mists of Pandaria. In fact, look at the Mythic difficulty adventure guide for any fights in Mists of Pandaria or Warlords of Draenor, and then ask yourselves, should any normal mode encounter be as mechanically complex as a Mythic encounter in previous expansions? In my opinion, no. I feel the final boss of a raid instance should be around the difficulty level of the first or second bosses of the next difficulty level. When you're being suggested to beat the first few bosses of the next difficulty level of a raid just so that you can beat the final boss of the difficulty that you're normally raiding, honestly, I feel that's a failure in design, at least when you're talking about, say, the normal and heroic gap. I shouldn't have to kill heroic bosses 1, 2, and 3 to have a better time taking down Stormwall Blockade and Jaina Proudmoore. And yet, a number of times, that was the advice that I was seeing from people that were talking to my raid team about, like, what we could do to get through those final fights. I'd say that when you talk about the topic of boredom, because I mentioned mythic raiders need that increase in complexity to stay engaged and stay interested in raiding. But when you talk about casual raiders, I feel like we are far less likely to become bored with a difficulty and complexity level that doesn't move too much, because we likely just, as a whole, aren't spending as much time raiding to get bored by that. Unfortunately, one thing that I'm lacking in this discussion is numbers. I don't work for Blizzard, so I don't have access to the statistics breakdown for what part of the player base participates in each difficulty. It's very possible that the kind of casual raid team that I'm a part of is, well, maybe part of a minority when it comes to normal mode. I admit that we usually take the entire time that a raid is relevant to get to the final boss and to get that final boss down, while other groups, in a matter of just a few weeks, will beat it on normal, then move to heroic, or beat it on heroic, then move to mythic. Our team is content with being just casual. Our team is happy with being normal mode raiders for the most part. There are a couple of us who once in a while have that itch to want to do heroic content. I'm actually guilty of that. But for the most part, we want to be normal mode raiders. At the end of the day, I suppose the question to ask is casual raiding even normal anymore? And if you're an encounter designer listening to this, and you feel the answer to that is no, then I have a suggestion. Allow Raid Finder difficulty raids to be done by groups of 10 or more raiders without needing to use the looking for raid, Raid Finder grouping system that matches you up with other people queuing up for Raid Finder. This is actually technology that's already in the game, as I kind of realized the other night, with time-walking raids. When you queue up for a time-walking raid by talking to an NPC, your raid is queued up for the flexible raid system. So they have the technology in there already to queue up for flexible mode-style raids. Allow us to be able to queue up for Raid Finder with a group of 10 or more, and just do it as that group of 10 or more raiders. If my raid team is at a point where the Raid Finder difficulty should actually be what we're doing, then I suppose I'll accept that, but I'd really appreciate not being grouped up with the randomly toxic elements that always seem to present themselves when I'm using Raid Finder. Now, I have my concerns about facing Ajar in the Eternal Palace, but it remains my hope that my raid team is going to find it fun and engaging, and that hopefully it does not end up being Stormwall Blockade 2.0. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and begin your quest for benthic gear, sick rides, amazing essences, and yes, Pathfinder 2.0. One last bit of podcast news before I'm done here. There is a little thing going on called America's Next Top Podcaster, or rather, applications are now open for season 2 of it. Now, if you're not familiar with what this is, basically think reality TV meets podcasting, and instead of a TV show, you have a podcast about podcasters with 5 years or less of podcasting experience putting fake shows together, performing, collaborating. You have one person eliminated each week until only one survives, and it was a great podcast. I love the first season. I'm definitely looking forward to the second season. And if you have only been podcasting for 5 years or less, or even if you have no podcasting experience, but you think you have what it takes and you listen to this show, I strongly encourage you to go to americasnexttoppodcaster.com, fill out the application, read what it's all about, and perhaps I will hear you in season 2. That would be really thrilling if someone ended up getting into this thing because I suggested it, and then they get to the finals and they win, and then I can say, and it was all because of me, because I am so humble like that. All right. Well, folks, that's going to do it for now. Thank you for listening to the show. I do a couple of other podcasts, as I shamelessly plugged earlier on. Hearth Casual, if you are into Hearthstone, with my co-host Kevin Ellis, we will have a new show out a week from Thursday, roughly July 4th, May. Play around with that a bit. And if you want more WoW talk, check out The Rolling Restart. The last episode was with Belle from Pwncast, and I think the next one should be with Ben from Azeroth Roundtable. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, you can find this show on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. If you want to support any of the podcasts that I do, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast, or alternatively, just tell people about these shows, leave your reviews on any of those platforms that I just mentioned. Don't forget to check out rum-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or a promo do you want to send in, or if you're just a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Realm Maintenance returns on July 9th, and with Patch 8.2 out there, my plan is to feature another WoW podcast. Will it be a newcomer, or will it be one you've heard of before? Well, we'll just have to download in 2 weeks and find out. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2019, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks once again to Jin from Morally Gray for being on this week. You can follow his show and much more on Twitter @MorallyGrayPod. Thank you for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter @FrozenFoxMedia. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.